afternoon and welcome to another edition of Your Book Garden, a copyrighted show presented by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I'm Tina Susetic, your host. Spring has finally come to Wisconsin. The past few days have been just beautiful. A week ago we had so much snow. And today I'm joined by a fellow Wisconsinite and author, PJ Fiala. Patty and I have known each other for quite a few years and have attended several book signings together. Hello, Patty.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Enjoying this beautiful weather. Spring is finally here.
Let's hope.
Well, you guys really got hit on your side of the state. Do you still have snow on the ground?
We still have snow on the ground. We've been taking a picture out of our bathroom window every morning, watching it melt because it's been in the mid to high 50s and low 60s today. But there's still, we had so much. It's going to take a little while for it to all melt, but we're not shoveling it, so there's that.
Yeah, because you guys got about almost 30 inches?
We got, yeah, like 30 inches.
Yeah, like I told my brother, I said, we only got 18, and he says, you know, it's a bad snowstorm when you say you only got 18 inches. So ours is almost all gone except in the woods and in the shades yet. So, okay, so enough about spring weather, although it's just, oh, it's so nice to have the windows open.
Yeah.
And today we're going to talk about Patty's newest book, Ford, Gwan and the Bounty Hunters series. But first I'd like to have our listeners learn a little bit more about you. You share us a bit about your life in Wisconsin?
Well, life in Wisconsin. I have four grown kids, four grandchildren. We travel by motorcycle a lot. Every year we go on a larger bike trip, and then we take smaller weekenders and day trips here and there. But, you know, people like us who bike, we have been eagerly awaiting summer because we don't do anything all winter except plan for summer and biking. So I'm happy it's here because now we can start getting on with all of our plans that we've been talking about. But so that's kind of it. You know, if I'm not writing, I'm babysitting grandkids, or we're, you know, doing something with family, or we're on the road somewhere.
I know, and we've been, you know, I've been going for walks, and you see the, you know, people who ride their motorcycles, they have them backed out of their garage, and their music is playing, and they're cleaning them. They have a big smile on their face, like, yes,
you
we
bet.
Can finally do this. So, speaking of, you've been to Sturgis a couple of times, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been there three or four times. Normally with a group.
What's that like?
Well, it's interesting because there's, you know, I mean, you'll see all walks of life there and all makes and models, I guess. You know, one year we were there and there was some gang violence going on. And then, you know, across town, there's just, you know, people like us that are grandparents and, you know, maybe professionals just hanging out. So you run the whole gamut. So it's very interesting. It's a wonderful place to people watch.
And there's a lot of people show up at that, aren't there?
Yeah. Last time we went out there was 2015, and that was like the 75th anniversary, I think, which was the reason we stopped there. We were on our way to Wyoming, but I said, we have to stop in Sturgis for an anniversary year and get a T-shirt. And Sturgis is a very small town, and there were a million people there, I think, that year, and they were, you know, only expecting about a million. And as we were coming in the tail end of Sturgis, there's like Sturgis week, there's the week before, and there's the week after, and all 3 weeks are full. I mean, because people have gotten tired of going Sturgis week where it's really crowded. I mean, it's almost impossible to make a left turn into a parking lot somewhere in Sturgis because there's just a steady stream of traffic. There's so many people out there in the Black Hills and riding around. So more and more people have kind of gotten wise to that and started coming out the week before or going the week after. Well, the week after is probably the slowest week because people are just kind of burnt out from it. And so anyway, we were on our way out to Wyoming, and we were going the kind of like the tail end of Sturgis week into the week after, and that's when we were there. We thought it would be fine, be people going home. And as we were stopping at gas stations on the way to, we were meeting people coming back, and they said, gosh, don't bother. They're out of food. They're out of shirts. They're out of this. Everybody's crabby. Don't even go. But
Oh, no.
We had to see it for ourselves anyway. I guess it was just they were all overwhelmed. It was there were so many people there that they weren't expecting, so it was quite the experience.
I can't imagine. I mean, I've lived in Hayward where they have the American Birkebeiner, and you know it brings in like you know, an extra 20,000-30,000 you know people, and that's enough. I can't imagine a little town bringing in over a million people. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And luckily they're spread out. I mean, there's a lot of those little towns. You know, Sturgis is only one of, you know, there's Deadwood, and then there's Custer, and there's Spearfish Canyon, and there's all those little towns, Keystone. They're all around there. So of course, you know, all the people have to float out to all the surrounding area, but it's full everywhere.
Too many people.
Yeah.
For me. Well, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to, you know, to bring up your, you brought up your motorcycle riding is your series Rolling Thunder combines two of your passions, and that is motorcycle riding and veterans.
Yes.
Our veterans, because your characters in your Rolling Thunder, and there's five books in that series.
Five, yeah. And number six is going to release in July.
Okay. And what's the name of that one? Because I haven't read that one.
Okay. That one is Moving Home.
Moving Home. Because all of them are, the first word is moving.
Yes.
In the Rolling Thunder series. And they're all, most of the characters are veterans. Or all the characters are veterans.
All the men are veterans except one.
Men.
Yes, and I don't think any of the women are, which I'm going to have to rectify.
And that's what I was thinking of. I didn't think there were any women in, you know, women vets. But yes, you need to do that. You need to put in some women vets because they're just as important as our men vets. So, I enjoyed the series, and you know, and knowing you and your passions, you know, brought it a little bit closer to home because, you know, of the motorcycle riding and the, you know, and the veterans and what the veterans have gone through. Because you come from a very strong military family.
Yeah,
from what
absolutely.
I understand.
Yep, grandparents, parents, my brother, two of my sons, one of my daughter-in-law, all military.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. And which brings me to, you know, you're a huge supporter of the veterans, and I said they play a large role in your books, which brings me to a charity that you and a fellow author, Stacy Joy Netzel, started. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, Stacy's got a son, Cody, who's also in the Army, and he actually, when we started Authors for Veterans, he was deployed, and we both have former military members in our books, and we write about, you know, military romance, and we started talking about what we could do. You always feel like you want to do something, but there's nothing you can really do to help out, and we have a fellow author that does this same thing, and she's out in Washington, I believe, so contacted her and modeled our charity after her. And what we do is twice a year, we gather 30 authors together to donate, you know, $35 and books and swag and comfort items or bath items or things. And we put them together in bags. The money, the $35, goes to buying bags to put these items in. And we ask each author to write a card or a letter to a family that's going to be receiving their basket bag, and we fill them up and take them down to Fisher House in Milwaukee. Now, Fisher House is just a fantastic organization, and they're actually all over the world. But we have one right here in Wisconsin, the only one in Milwaukee right now, but apparently they are looking into another one in Madison soon. It goes by whether or not the VA believes that there's enough demand for it. But Fisher House it's just a beautiful facility, and it's the one in Milwaukee sleeps enough room for 16 families. They have a huge dining room. Everything is just beautiful. beautifully decorated, and when you walk in, you can just feel the sense of calm. But when your veteran is at the VA hospital, you can stay there for free as long as he or she is receiving care. So it's kind of like a Ronald McDonald House for veterans. And it's right on the VA grounds in Milwaukee, and it's just fantastic.
Well, and that's got to be such a comfort to both the family and the veteran, knowing that, you know, their family is taken care of while they're being taken care of, being taken care of in a different way, and they don't have to worry about how are we going to pay for a hotel for my family to come and stay to see me.
Right.
I know when you first go ahead.
I'm sorry. Fisher House also does for once you're in the military you're out, you're always a veteran. And they said that they also host families who are at the VA for end of life. So they may have a veteran that they know is not going to make it, and the whole family can come and be with their veteran while, you know, they're waiting for him or her to pass. And so they said they have had situations where they've hosted, you know, a family that needed four rooms, but they were all there to be with their veteran that was dying. So it's not just an emergency situation where, you know, somebody suddenly became ill and you have to run there. Sometimes it's something that, you know, they're just not going to recover from, and they have that service available to them as well. So
I know when you first, I've been part of it. I mean, this is the second year that I've sent things. And, you know, one of the things being an ex-teacher, I thought about the kids too, you know, what would they like to do and their ages, and, you know, make sure there's games and maybe some books and crayons and sketch pads and, you know, things like that. Because for kids, it can be kind of boring.
Yeah,
you know,
and scary.
There's not, yeah, and scary. Yeah, scary is another way of putting it. Yeah. You know, and if they're too young, they don't understand what's going on. So I was very happy, because I come from a, you know, strong military background too, and very happy to be part of this. Now, you have a website for this, correct?
We do. It's authors and then the number 4veterans.com, and it's all one word.
Okay. I do have the logo on the website as we're talking, as the pictures are scrolling through. I added that this morning. I'm like, oh, I need to put that on there. So when I was, you know, working on what we were going to talk about. So, and I know you're going to be talking about this, would you say in May?
I think May 24th or something, yeah.
With Tessa on her show? I can't think of what the name is. Romancing the Reader, I think is the name of her show.
I think so, yeah.
Sundays I know it's usually does it on Sunday, like at 4, I think, Eastern time. I should have written that down. can't remember everything. So, but I just think that's just a wonderful, thing that you guys are, that you're doing.
Thank you for donating. We do appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's kind of fun going to the store and just thinking, okay, if I was in this position, you know, what would I like? And I know people have donated socks and blankets and pillows and books.
Oh,
and,
my gosh, yeah.
Snacks, you know. So
I'll tell you, I get all your boxes, and it's just like Christmas opening them up. And as a general rule, most of you authors that have been donating are so very creative. I mean, and just some things I thought, I would never have thought of that. That is a cool idea.
I was just thinking the same thing. I see the pictures that you post on Facebook. It's like, wow, why didn't I think of that? Like somebody, I think, donated a scarf. And it was like, oh, that's a really good idea, you know? Just anything to make their time more comfortable. And I always think of kids, okay, snacks. They're going to want snacks. They're going to want, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to want food. So.
Well, you know, it's okay, something that they don't expect when they check in either. And Fisher House has told us that they, you know, when they're handed the bag and you know, told that local authors have donated this for their family, they said, you know, they're just speechless that they are thought of in that way. So it's kind of nice that you kind of, we surprise them a little bit in a nice way. And I can just think that's kind of cool.
Have you ever been there when they've given a bag to somebody, or is that a privacy issue?
No, we haven't. And I think only because when we go down there, we're just there to donate. And then, you know, we don't hang around and, you know, loiter or anything. So and then we just kind of get out of Dodge. So, and we normally schedule our visits. So they'll schedule us when we don't expect someone coming in, I'm sure, you know, so they can, they give us a tour and, you know, explain things. So
That would be really interesting to see that. But yeah, I imagine when families come in, the focus is on the family and, you know, not on anybody else. So, well, we need to get start talking about one of the reasons why you're on my show today is your newest book, which came out April 16th, if I believe. Is that right?
Yep. Last week, Monday.
Yep. Last a week ago. The book is Ford. It's your book one in your new series called the Bounty Hunter series.
Yep.
You want to tell us a little bit about this new series?
Yeah, well, you know, I have a reader group on Facebook, and I was looking for some ideas, actually for characters for an existing book that I had been writing at the time for Chandler County, and all of a sudden my reader group sort of jumped in, and they had all these cool names for characters, and they were talking about, you know, and he could be this, or she could be doing that, and I looked at the thread when I was trying to decide what I was going to use for the book that was in question at the time. I started looking at the characters, and I had Ford, and then Lincoln, and Dodge, and somebody else in the thread said, make them bounty hunters, and I thought, now there's a series right there, and I even posted that. I said, now look, see what y'all done here? You've created a whole new series that we're going to write. So this series is really a nod to my reader group, and I really enjoyed writing it. So, and I'm in the middle of writing Lincoln right now, and I'm loving this series.
Is it, how many books are going to be in the series then?
I'm thinking just the three.
Oh, three. Okay.
And then we'll, if it's well received, we can spin off or do more. But they're all former military. They were all in the military together, and they decided to kind of help out, and give back to society by pulling criminals off the street.
And Ford, Lincoln, and Dodge are all connected with each other. Were they? Did they serve together, or?
They served together. Yep. They're battle buddies. And then when Ford starts, he's been doing this for a number of years, and his parents were murdered, and he's on the hunt for the murderer of his parents. And throughout the book, he's in his 40s. He's been at this for a while, and when he finally meets Megan, he's decided he's kind of ready to settle down and maybe not be out on the road and, you know, battling criminals so much. But Lincoln messages him and says, you know, he's been a police detective for a number of years, and he needs to just kind of have a change of pace, wants to move out by Ford. He said, I'll take over battling the criminals on the street. You keep finding us the job. So that's kind of how their agency starts. And then they bring Dodge in.
Okay. And that's one of the things I liked, is that they were, the characters are, well, they call them, what do they call them? Not aged characters.
Mature.
Somebody over.
Seasoned.
Seasoned. Yes. Thank you. Seasoned characters that, you know, they've been around a little bit, and they know a little bit about, you know, what's going on, and, you know, how to deal with life, and how to try to deal with, you know, what life has thrown at them.
Yeah.
You know, and I like how you tied him in with Megan, you know, how her problems tied into what he was trying to do. That was, I thought that was, you know, it was well played.
Thanks.
That was
a good
way to put it. Yeah. So, you know, There was a couple of places where I'm like, uh-oh, you know, or I'm going, he told you to stay put. Oh, good,
yeah.
She's staying put. Oh, no, now she's not staying put. Come on.
Well, if she listened to everything he did, there wouldn't be anything fun in the book. So.
Yeah. And, you know, and their interplay, was good. And his house on the mountain, oh, I would, as I'm reading, I'd love to be there.
Really?
It just looked, you know, yeah, peaceful and quiet.
Peaceful.
And looking over the, yeah. I enjoyed that part. So I'll look forward to, well, the sixth, Moving Home, the sixth book, because I did read all five in your Rolling Thunder. And then Lincoln and Dodge's story. So
yeah, coming up.
It'll happen fast. You mentioned something. We still have quite a bit of time left. Chandler County.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about Chandler County?
Sure. Well, I have a fellow author, Stephanie Tullis. And we were chatting one night about, we were in a box set, an anthology, just short stories previously, and we were chatting one night over Facebook on what we would do moving forward. Would we put together another anthology or, do we want to do something else? And at the time I had said, well, you know, I have family in Kentucky, and Jean and I go down every year to visit my family in Kentucky, and it's been my dream always, write stories that take place in Kentucky. And she said, well, me too. And through that chat, we started talking about, I said, well, you know, I don't have a name or anything for it, but I already have my characters kind of outlined. I mean, you're probably the same, Tina. I have more story ideas and more characters in my head than I even think I have time on earth to get them out on paper. So, I've had these characters laying around for a while. It's just sort of a hazard, right?
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to have to live to be 200 to write all the stories I have.
Yeah.
And they keep coming.
They do. One character will spur someone else. So anyway, we were just chatting back and forth, and she said, well, I have a series name. She said, I've always wanted to write a series called Chandler County. And she said, and I would love for it to take place in Kentucky. And so we just started going back and forth, and then we talked about how would we do this? How would we both of us write? We couldn't be more opposite in our writing. She writes sweet romance. I write very steamy romance. We don't share an audience at all. And so then it became, well, how would we even do that? Because we don't share an audience, and I don't know how that would even, you know, work. And so just through all of that, we said, well, what about inviting other authors to join in? And, you know, it would just be a very diverse, authors can write. We accept any kind of heat level except erotica. And, you know, we'd run the gamut. So we have that. We've now are in the middle of our just getting ready to start releasing our third cycle of, I believe, six books in this cycle. And, we'll go again. We may change some things up moving forward, but we've got some awesome stories. And you've written two for Chandler County, right?
Right.
Two?
Well, my second
yeah.
Two. No, my second one comes out in July.
Okay.
I've written one. July 5th, my second one comes out. So,
yeah, and so you're a great example of the diversity in that you decided to take your characters and put them in the past. So yours are what, like 20 or 30 years, 40 years in the past?
1975, 76, which depending on who you talk to, is considered an historical, which just about blew my mind.
I know.
Like, no. That can't be historical, please.
Well,
and they all start with the word missing.
Yes.
Which
we just
makes
decided
it,
to
you know,
to have a commonality and to, you know, to have all the books kind of so you could tell that they are together, and we came up with missing, and we had a cover designer design the concept cover, so all the covers are very similar.
you can tell when you look at a cover that where it's from, but they're all gorgeous.
They are. They are. Yeah, she blows me away with her covers.
Yeah. I think they're just, when you see them all together, it's just, they're stunning. And so we created the world, and actually the world came together over just a matter of a day or two. We both had so many little elements that we wanted to incorporate. And because I had already mentioned Bourbonville in one of my other books, and she wasn't really all that crazy. Stephanie wasn't all that crazy about Bourbonville. She was really set on Chandlerville. We said, well, why can't they be in the same county? So that's how we have the two towns in the same county. And so, you know, you can write in whichever county you want. And every county is just like a full-fledged county with a school and a police force and bakeries and banks and whatever you need to have bars. And then it's just full of our wonderful characters.
It's fun to write for. And for me, writing, you know, in the 70s, it's like, okay, has anybody, you know, and if you have a question, you can just ask another author, has anyone named the theater? Nobody had.
Yeah.
So I got to come up with a name of the theater. So that was, it's fun to write for. So, well, we don't have a lot of time left. How can listeners, where can they find you?
Well, I'm always on my website, so pjfiala.com. And I'm on Facebook if you're interested in Facebook, although things are changing drastically over there, but PJ Fiala 1 on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Books Plus Maine. I guess I'm just sort of everywhere.
I guess.
You can always check my website first, and all the links are there to catch me anywhere else.
Okay. Well, congratulations on your newest release, and I look forward to reading about Lincoln and then Dodge and Moving Home, your newest book that comes out July. What did you say, July?
July, I think it's July 14th or something. Here, let me look. I've got it right here next to me. July 17th.
July 17th. Okay, so we both have July releases coming up. So I got to get
yeah.
mine done. So, well, thank you so much for joining me today and finding out about your, you know, Authors for Vets and your biking and your series. And I hope to see you soon at some point.
Yeah,
and,
that would be nice. Madison, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's, oh my gosh, that's just a little over a week away. 10 days away? Oh, my goodness. We'll see you then.
In Madison? Yeah, we'll see you.
In Madison.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you
for joining me today on Your Book Garden. Please join me on May 8th when I'll have Christy Woodson Harvey on with her book, The Secret to Southern Charm. Until then, read on, my lovelies.